This morning we're beginning a sermon series entitled, You Asked For It, based on questions that many of you posed to us. Today we want to give some thought to the question, why be a part of the church? And so to lead us into that, I want to invite us to hear God's word from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. It's an interesting question because in our spiritual but not religious world, where people are increasingly skeptical of the institutions that we once held in high esteem, including the church, what are we to make of church membership, of belonging to a very large institution? Why should we bother with belonging to an organization that at times, quite frankly, seems outdated, out of touch, conflicted, more concerned with internal matters than with serving the world? So here's what Paul has to say about the church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, as so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of God for the people of God. So Vern and I did this last year. I'm David Hockett, by the way, one of the pastors here at Boone United Methodist Church. We welcome you. We're glad you're here today. If there are parents with us, I sympathize with you. I'll send one to college next Sunday and one to Spain for a semester in about 2 weeks. So I'm praying for all of you moms and dads who are freaked out, especially if this is the first time you've done this. And I'm praying for you students, too, if this is the first time you've done it and you're freaked out. So know you're in good company, and this church is here to love and support you as you make this journey. I think it may be helpful for just a moment to think about, before we talk about why be a part of the church, to think about what is the church. So we're all kind of on the same page with that. Christianity is an incarnational faith. It's not about some kind of mental gymnastics that we do to get our minds around the knowledge that will liberate us. It's not about the internal lives of a bunch of disembodied spirits. It is about the day-to-day living out of faith in community together, side by side, life with Christ, on the ground, in the trenches, and it can be beautiful and it can be horribly messy and difficult. This life together, this gathering in community of the followers and friends of Jesus is what we call the church. The Apostle Paul describes it in a beautiful way in the letter that I just read a portion of, telling us that the church is the body of Christ. Paul invites a diverse group of people to see themselves as various body parts, all coordinated, belonging to one another, working together as one larger body. Delighting in being a part of something bigger than me and my concerns. So Paul will say, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. And the feet can't say, I have no need of you. No, in Christ, through baptism, like we just witnessed, we belong together. We're related to one another. We live in the world as one body, the church. The church is Christ in the world. So think about for a moment Jesus' relationship with his first disciples. He didn't call isolated individuals into sort of segmented, siloed relationships. He called them to be a community of friends. And for his friends to be friends of one another. He called them to do the hard work of traveling through life together, to learn how to love each other, to care for one another, to bear witness to the world of what a renewed humanity looks like. He called them to be a beloved community, characterized by strange practices like loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you and making peace. And making a place at the family table for outcasts and sinners. He called them to be his church, his body, to be for the world a sign and a foretaste of God's kingdom, a living witness to God's dream for the whole world. Which means that the church is not a social club. It's not a voluntary organization. It's not a gathering of like-minded individuals or a tool that you can take up when you need it and then put it down when you feel strong enough on your own. No, the church is the body of Christ, God's mission in the world. And Christ calls the church his bride, whom he loves and who he tells us he's given himself up for, which means that the church must be pretty important, that it matters. So why be a part of it?
Because in the church, you find your identity, you experience community, and you embrace your vocation for God's kingdom in this world. First, the church at its best tells you something about who you are. It tells you something about your identity. Now, before you nod your head and you think, and that is exactly what is wrong with the church today, it spends entirely too much time trying to tell people who they should be, who they shouldn't be, and how they should be living. Before you jump there, let me just say you're probably right. The church likely does spend too much time telling those who are not a part of the church that they need to be living like they are a part of it. When in reality, the church is meant to be a reflection for the world of the love that God has for humanity. And that should be a great deal more inviting than it is demanding. And we'll get to the true work of the church in a moment. But first, know that any time the church seems to get off track, it's merely because the church is having an identity crisis. It has forgotten who it is and whose it is. And we as people are not so different. When you lose sight of who you are, it affects how you interact with the world around you. The question is, where are you looking for your identity? We live in a culture that places a premium on individuality and honors uniqueness through likes and shares and retweets. We live in a culture that demands you take a side and then chastises you if you've chosen the wrong side. We live in a culture that places on each of us the unbearable burden of carving out our identity. The problem is, on any given day, you're not sure which unique individual the world really wants you to be. So the question again, Where are you looking to find your identity? This is vital to consider. Because who you know yourself to be frames how you approach everything about the life you're living. It determines how you handle relationships, whether or not you take risks, how you give and receive love, how you think about the future, and how you spend the time that is right in front of you. And in the pressure of our current culture, if you are not careful, it is incredibly easy to lose sight of who you were created to be in pursuit of who this world thinks you ought to be. We have an identity crisis. But the good news is this. We are not the only ones who have dealt with this. In verse 13, Paul is calling to the carpet. Even the early followers need to distinguish themselves by the labels under which they live. He takes those labels that are a source of pride for some and shame for others, and that ultimately serve to divide, and he levels the playing field by pointing to their baptism in Christ that serves as their new identifier. Paul isn't telling the early church to cease to be Jew or Greek or slave or free. He's simply saying that those old markers of identity have been swallowed up by who Christ says they are. Paul is removing any question of worth based on position or power. Paul is reminding them that in Christ they have been given a new identity, one based solely on God's love for them. Paul says elsewhere that before you could do anything in this world, before you could succeed, before you could fail, you are loved by God and deemed worthy of adoption into that great love. And at the end of Romans chapter 8, Paul says there is nothing in all creation that can put you outside of that love. Nothing that you're chasing, nothing that you've given yourself to, no identity that you are hiding behind can put you outside of the love that God has for you. This is a picture of one of my daughters with her two dogs. Here it is clear that they are at peace with whose they are, lounging in the sun with a child who loves them. There are times, however, when they just feel like it is time to roam. Not my daughter, but my dogs. To go in search of I don't know what. They decide that the sting of the electric fence is worth whatever they think awaits them on the other side. And so they go, wandering away from home. But regardless of how many times they give in to that urge to roam, I will always get in my car or begin on foot to go look for them. Because no matter how far they go, they will never cease to be my dogs. They will never cease to be a part of a family who loves them. And when the church is at its best, that is what you are hearing from it. No matter what you chase, no matter how far you might feel like you have roamed, no matter what you have given yourself to, you are deeply loved by God, and you have a place right here. And you hear that best in the community that is the church.
So the New Testament uses the word koinonia. It essentially means fellowship or community. Despite the promises of social media, which I use every day, sometimes not so well, but try, to unite us and to help us form community, we live, as many of you know, increasingly fragmented, segmented, isolated lives. Lives that are devoid of authentic, life-giving, transformational community. Mother Teresa once observed, the poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. Obviously, we have physical poverty in the West, but she said one of the principal ways that poverty manifests itself in the West is not only a poverty of spirituality, but also a poverty of loneliness. There's a hunger for community, she writes, and a hunger for God. And she suggests that these two are intimately related to one another. The hunger for community goes hand in hand with the hunger for God, which is one of the reasons we're called to be a part of the life of the church. We meet God in each other, in our brothers and sisters, in community, sharing life together, being disciples together. We experience life the way God intends for life to be lived. So community is not the place where everyone gets along, laughs at everyone's jokes, and they all like each other. That's a sitcom. That's not real life. Authentic Christian community is where people who might never actually speak to one another become friends. Christ makes us the church. We were all baptized into Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, that's where our identity comes from, as Vern said, in and through baptism. That's where we know who we are and to whom we belong. And though we are very different, Paul says, some of us hands, some of us feet, some of us ears, and some of us eyes, we are all members of the same body. And it's Jesus, not our shared interpretation of the Bible, not our like-mindedness around theological ideas, not our worship preferences or our political views, or anything else that we think unites us. It's Jesus who makes us one, who unites us in community with himself and with one another. I mean, like the spokes on a wheel, the closer we draw to Jesus, who is the center of our lives, notice we draw closer to one another. And this relationship, this community that we share in Christ, is like none other. It is so intimate and organic that Paul says, when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. Just like our physical bodies, we can't be well and whole apart from one another. We need each other. Andy Stanley has written, "We are a society living in isolation, seldom enjoying the benefits of meaningful relationships. We live and work and go to school around a lot of people, but many of us do life alone. And this is not what God intends. We were created by a relational God with relational needs for significant and meaningful connection. And when we don't connect well, life goes poorly. We need each other for life to be full and rich and meaningful. We need more than the casual relationships that characterize most of our lives. The church is called to be the very kind of place where people connect deeply and well with God and with one another. The kind of community where we can be loved and known even in our flaws. The kind of community where you can bear patiently with me and I bear patiently with you. I am a better Christian, more loving and more kind and more faithful because of my brothers and sisters who support me and hold me accountable to be the member of the body God has called me to be." Jesus called together a community of friends. Every single one of us in this room needs the church. And within the church, we need a smaller community of friends who will pray for us, love us, hold us accountable, ask us the difficult questions, support us, and walk through life alongside us. Those are the kinds of things that happen every week in countless community and small groups here at this church. So why be a part of the church? Because we need it. We need those meaningful, life-giving relationships that remind us of who God has created and called us to be.
I think I'd like to say before we move to vocation, if that makes your heart beat a little faster as you think about community and maybe your desire to see people in community or to be a part of that yourself, please reach out to us. We are constantly looking for ways to help you connect in community, whether that is in a Sunday school class, whether it's in a community group, whether it's as a part of our youth ministry or in the ways that we serve. We believe that we are created for that, and it's something that we hold in high regard and want to help you get there. And finally, in the church, we find that we are knit together in community, a community that's willing to remind you of who you are and where your worth is found. But for what purpose? So to a degree, the question still stands. Why be a part of the church? Because in the church, not only do you find you are rooted in your identity as being fiercely loved by God, not only in the church do you find a community that helps keep you focused on what is most important, but through the church, you are invited to step into and embrace your purpose in this world. As members of the body of Christ, we are all uniquely gifted to share in God's mission. That mission of loving and saving the world. Paul is clear, we don't all have gifts, or we don't all have the same gifts, but we all have gifts. We are all called. We all have vocation, a unique way that God wants us to live and to serve and be a part of what God is doing in this world. And Paul is clear on this too. Every single member of the body matters. Every single member living out his or her purpose is necessary for the body, for the church, to be healthy and whole. This means that there's a place for you here. Church needs you and your unique gifts if we're going to be the church that God is calling us to be. Our mission at Boone UMC is to love our community and invite all to discover life in Christ. And when we spent the 2 years wrestling and praying and listening through this process of forming and adopting this mission, one of the questions we continued to ask was, who is God bringing us? What unique gifts has God brought into this body through each of you? What burdens for this world has God brought into this body through you? What vision for the ways God's kingdom might collide with the hurt around us has God brought into this body through each of you? God speaks to us about what he is calling us to do through you, church. It is an exciting time in the life of this church as we have begun with a renewed sense of purpose to embrace the ways God is calling us to serve the world around us. And you'll hear more about this in the coming weeks, but starting Tuesday evenings, for example, there will be opportunity to come and be a part of completing the Boone United Trail that exists for our community, that winds its way from our back parking lot up to the top of Howard's Knob. At the same time that is happening, you could be a part of our firewood ministry, to come on Tuesday evenings and spend time cutting and splitting and stacking or delivering wood for those in the community who might need it as winter approaches. We have our annual Fall Bazaar coming up in a few weeks, which benefits this community in a number of ways. You could be a part of serving a meal at the Hospitality House, our local housing and homeless shelter. We have our Kairos Prison Ministry, as well as a ministry in our local jail through King Street Church. Operation Christmas Child and our Guatemala mission help push us beyond this community into the world. Then there are the ministries within the church that provide you opportunity to embrace the gifts that God has given you. Whether that's being a part of our children's ministry or our youth ministry, being willing to facilitate a community group, lead a Bible study, be a part of a congregational care team, be a part of a ministry of presence through our Stevens ministry. The ways are countless, and they continue to grow. The question is, where is God calling you? There's a place for you. Yes, there's a place to be, because sometimes we just need a place to be. But there's also a place to be used by God and what God is doing in this world. In verse 14, Paul says, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." The beauty is, this is not like arranging the collectibles you have sitting on your shelf. God has not arranged each of you here together just to have something to dust off from time to time. God has not arranged each of you here to have something pretty to look at, although you are all beautiful. Because when God looks at you, God doesn't see a collection of trinkets. God sees his son Jesus. And Jesus came to transform the world. He began with the cross, and now he is doing it through his church. And as one of our longtime members said recently, I believe the best is still in front of us. And friends, I believe God will lead us to realizing the best he has for us through each